We often discuss the fact that the heroes in the Torah are portrayed as human beings and not as perfect, ideal people. And this morning, even though we know the story, I want to tell you exactly what happens, because unless you read it very carefully, you'll miss how human the humans in it are. It's not just that Rebecca tells Jacob, put hair on your arms and go fool your old blind father so that you get the birthright and Esau does not, because she favors one child over another, which I know none of us would ever, ever do, but she does. Or because she thinks that he's really the right one to inherit the family business, which is Judaism, and that Esau is not. But whatever her motivation, it's clear that she engineers the deception. And then Jacob is somehow ensnared in this deception and goes and says to his father, I am Esau. His father blesses him. Esau comes, gets very upset, obviously, for a clear reason, says to Jacob, as soon as our father dies and the mourning period is over, I'm going to kill you. So now Jacob needs to get away. But he can't just run away. And here's the part that I wanted to point out, that unless you read the story carefully, you may not be aware of what happens next. In the previous chapter, we read that Esau married two Hittite women, and that they embittered Isaac and Rebekah's life. In other words, Rebekah, for the first time in history, didn't like her daughters-in-law. Go figure. Never before and never since. This is the one instance where there is tension between a daughter-in-law, and in this case, two daughters-in-law, and the mother-in-law. But not only that, Isaac doesn't seem to like them either. So we don't know why. We have no idea what it is. They're Hittites. They're not Israelites. That could be part of it. We don't know. But whatever the reason is, they don't like each other. Or at least Isaac and Rebekah don't like them. We don't know how they felt about it. Although I think it's unlikely that they liked Isaac and Rebekah. So what does Rebekah do, knowing that Jacob is now threatened, because she overhears Esau say, I'm going to kill you. Remember that in the ancient world, the entire house was about half the size of this sanctuary at best, and that was a big house, so everybody heard everything and saw everything, and people slept in one room. So that being the case, she has to figure out now, how do I get Jacob to run away without telling Isaac that we fooled him, that I had a part in it, and that's why his son has to run away and not be at home with him. So what does she do? She says to Isaac, you know what? It's going to kill me if Jacob marries a Hittite like Esau did, because I can't stand those women. So I'm going to send him off to Laban, who is her brother. Remember, she leaves him years ago, and to his family, and there maybe he'll find some family to marry, as we know he does, so that he won't marry a Hittite woman, because that'll just kill me. So obviously, Isaac isn't going to object to this, because he doesn't like the Hittite women either. So they send Jacob off. But here's the twist at the end that makes it so fascinating. Esau overhears Rebekah saying to Isaac, I'm going to send Jacob away because I don't want him to marry women like Esau did. And Esau, who after all knows the whole story because he's the one whose birthright got taken, he then goes off to the house of Ishmael, who, remember, is his uncle, although Ishmael has since died, and marries a woman from the tribe of Ishmael, because he now knows that the people that he married have upset his parents. So he chooses an option which isn't so much available to us, which is just to take another wife who maybe they will like better. So the next time when Rebekah wants to go shopping with one of her daughters-in-law, she can pick the one that she likes. But I bring this up not because I have any great lesson to impart, but it's so profoundly human. And all of us, except for the multiple marriage, all of us can identify with all the emotions, certainly, in this family drama. And even though we usually talk about the stealing of the birthright and what that means, we don't always talk about what the daughter-in-law and the excuse, and it also shows you, by the way, that Rebecca was not above misleading her husband even directly. Because it's not just that she tells Jacob, go fool your father, but she also says to Jacob, says to Isaac, I'm sending Jacob away so that he doesn't marry a Hittite woman, when we all know that's not why she's sending Jacob away. She's sending him away so her other son doesn't kill him. So even inside families, these small deceptions that people practice, they go way back too. And if you read the Torah carefully, it will show you that human beings have basically not changed. Their circumstances have changed, their technology has changed, their language has changed, but the dynamics of the way human beings relate to one another, their small deceptions, their big fears, their loves, their betrayals, they're just as they always were. And if you read the newspaper headlines, nothing in them will surprise you if you read the Torah portion that morning. Because it doesn't matter what happens anywhere in the world to any organization, military or otherwise, it has already happened in the Torah. And should not surprise you because, as I said, human nature doesn't change, and the whole purpose of studying it is not to totally transform us, but just to make us a little bit better. And with that, let's bring everyone in.